No, that's the wrong one.
Sorry about that. Greetings, everyone.
We're learning some new technology to bring the music to more clarity. And Rita Roberts set up the call for 9:15 today. So there's just all of you who have come on Skype and the commander played the song for Friday and Saturday. It must have been an intuitive.
It was an intuitive thing before Barack Obama because of what is being said by the voice of the energies that are so strong right now with what is going on in D.C.
Yes, they are really taking empire to task for irresponsible, criminal, misconduct, I would say.
Elections that have been bought and paid for.
I'm sorry, I will go to the other room. You can talk to
And what has been being said by so many folks right now concerning the big story is that Tom Hartman talked about this today, where the hour of what time it is that he is saying on many levels, this man's responsibility now is to we the people, and it shall be so. It is so. There are many events unfolding concerning this larger than life story, because it involves larger than life characters that are at a point where the scales and the fins are coming out and the fur. And Mr. Obama is taking a trip this Friday to India. And let's say he is going there to meet with the G20 on into Asia, as well as the representatives from Shambhala and Agartha, and the stories that go to the sky concerning first contact, full disclosure. All of this is in these moments right now that have to do with the timelines being erased. And happy Diwali, everyone. This is that festival that happens in India at this time that has to do with the new year, and it always falls on this dark of the moon, coming up new moon in Scorpio, and it is quite a wild dance of what is unfolding.
And we will, in 2 minutes, we'll play the song, and everybody that wasn't able to come on to the new conference, conference call, because Marita Robert had set it up for 9:15. So we don't want to tell any news until after we play the song and begin. And we've got one more minute. So Rama.
Oh, I would just say that what has been unfolding here.
Without saying anything for another minute and play the song.
Is that Mother has taken a huge in-breath and a huge out-breath along with Brahma and the story of how this universe is created and it's sustained and then it moves into a higher dimension and merges with other universes. And the bigger piece of this is today begins the seventh day of the galactic underworld. November 3rd is the first day of the seventh day of the galactic underworld. This brings
and
in.
And there is no night to the seventh day. That means we keep that seventh day. And that means the seventh day has to do with the new creation and Brahma's beloved twin flame. Her name is Lakshmi.
Yes.
And we're going to read the whole story, but this is not only happy birthday, new year to India as a country. It's also happy birthday and new year for the birthday boy, our beloved Richard. And this Richard is a beginning now for you. And so here is to you and your celebration. And so take this song with Barack Obama in mind on your birthday, as well as Mother India's birthday coming up. On Friday, right?
That's right.
And then
Diwali day.
And then the Mayan calendar, it's the first day of the seventh day, of which there is no night. This is it, everyone. Now, put this in your heart with Barack Obama. and Richard. Thank you, Richard, for coming to assist us. And I just want you all to know this day is an 1133 day. This is talking about the mastery of the high heart path of the cosmic Christ of Sananda Kumara coupled with the Kalki in our being and in everything. All right, now Barack Obama.
And where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, 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 it's time. We all come together. Barack Obama.
Yes, we can.
Barack Obama.
Yes, we all can.
Barack Obama's making history, man. It's no limits, it's what the people saying. Yes, we can, sure. Si se puede, today is the new day. So come on, throw your hands up, everyone, and everybody. Barack Obama.
Yes, we can.
Barack Obama.
Greetings, everyone. where to begin today. I think we need to begin at the beginning. And I guess it would be with Barack Obama today. And Rama, what's happening? You need to drink?
Yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
I mean, what is going on today has to do with elections that are bought and paid for by foreign corporations that began this story with the Reagan tax cuts. And these are the issues that are not being dealt with. And Tom Hartman brought it up so eloquently. In the first 10 minutes, if you were there, you got to hear it. And he talked about how he watched the hyperdimensional election of Barack Obama.
Well, he watched the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 3 hours. We played that for everyone a while back. Yes, and?
And he talked about how this changed his view of the man. Because what he did today, Chris Matthews called it a reconciliatory speech. And, you know, concessions. Yet at the same time, the understanding is nobody's conceding to anyone. It is bringing the higher point into the story here that has to do with the higher levels. And this is the place where on Friday he is going to be meeting with folks that, let's say, are from all the different nations, both above and below. And I'm talking about Agartha and Shambhala and our galactic friends, as well as the Earth people. This ties in the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, the White Dragons, the Black Dragons, the Red Dragons, all of these stories behind the scenes of the
Green Dragons.
The Green Dragons, of course. All the rainbows. These are the stories about the rainbow rays and platinum, the platinum ray. And all of these energies right now have to do with how, on a higher level, Mother is calling the shots. That has to do with what is about to occur. And what she calls it is dinner. And I am just saying at this point, all stops are out and this is going all the way to the Solar Tribunal. What is going on here is going on out there at the highest levels. And even though it may seem as though that these ones who Bernie Sanders calls our friends on the right, it has to do with foreign money. I mean, football fields of foreign money. That has to do with even beyond that. And I mean, all of the corporations that are tied in right now, there's many stories I get in emails and other pieces of this that are part of the puzzle, you could say, as well as the folks I talked to on all the dimensions. And everybody was laying it out today. And it was David Bender this morning with Stephanie Miller and Hal Sparks. And they were talking about what Obama was going to talk about. And this led into Tom Hartman talking about the whole piece of this, where you could take the high road or you could take the low road. And this man, I have heard him be accused of being too much of an intellectual and a place that's coming from a higher dimension. And I would just say these are all the classic signs of a galactic ambassador that brings in the story that's not being told here, that has to do with Malcolm X as his father and the issues at hand that have to do with the healing of this story that goes to all the different cultures. And this is why I bring up the rainbow dragons, all the colors of the rainbow. And he is bringing that into the place where Shah Jahan and Akbar the Great, all these stories and legends are not just stories and legends, it is the real deal. And this piece of this has to do with how we talk about these ones who are 12, 14, 22 feet tall that are with us, who are not from Earth, and there's not being manufactured at Area 51 or Pine Gap. There are many cultures that our friends who wear the brass have not met yet. And it would be time, as Val Valerian is one of them, that sat with our Congress along with others who said at the moment here, you know, set aside all your toys called nukes. And this man has done this at this time by bringing this forth where he got the Nobel Prize for this. And at the same time, all of it has to do with the final dregs of this story, which is called the, like John Stewart said, these are not end times. These are hard times. Yet how I understand it is we are already in Satyuga.
Yeah.
And you know, where the story goes from here, it is at this point.
It goes to India.
It goes to Mother India, which ties in Mu. And that whole piece.
Well, and along with it, 40 airplanes and 6 armored cars. And 6 armored cars and 40 aircraft will accompany U.S. President Barack Obama during his 3-day visit to India. Details of the elaborate arrangements for the 3-day presidential visit on November 6th were leaked. Okay, November 6th is Saturday, which is the day of the new moon.
Right, Diwali, the end of Diwali.
Diwali begins on Friday.
Yeah, but it's a 5-day holiday.
Okay, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or is that the end of it? Has it been going for 5 days?
It might have been.
Okay.
Well, I am not exactly certain. Yet it is at this time. If somebody would call and let us know.
Oh, well, we have to read this.
Yeah.
Area code here on this phone line, of course, is 530-413-4511. 15 and 20. 530-413-4511-20 and 15. And again, happy birthday, Commander Richard. And a special song for you. We have contemplated. We're not 100%. We wouldn't mind if you want to put in a request yourself. And And
I have something in mind.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, I would just prefer to play it.
Okay, well, you cue it up, and then we'll see in a minute. I'll finish reading some more things here, though. So November 6th is the new moon, and Diwali is on the 5th, and we'll find out if that's the culmination day, the 5th day, or if it's the first day of 5 days in a row. That would be good to find out. And then on the details of the elaborate arrangements for the 3-day presidential visit to on November 6th, so that would be 6th, 7th, and 8th, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Okay, 8th, to Indian newspaper earlier this week. According to the Daily Mail, 40 aircraft, including Air Force One, and 6 heavily armored cars will follow the president around the country. The entourage will be the biggest ever in terms of logistics and manpower for any U.S. president. Maybe he'll do something about Lady Master Arundhati Roy.
That could be.
I know that she's in a witness protection. She's away from her home, and they is that not so?
That's right.
She hasn't returned?
No.
You know, and they,
I have no idea where she is. No one's told me.
And they did invade her privacy of her home, and
yes, they did.
What they do, steal things or destroy things?
They vandalized her home.
Yes, and so all of this must come to an end. This beautiful whistleblower young lady. Okay, the entourage will be the biggest ever in terms of logistics and manpower for any U.S. president. The president himself will be ferried around in a black Cadillac, dubbed Barack Mobile, which has its own built-in communications center to enable Obama to be in touch with the White House, the United States Vice President, and the United States Strategic Command throughout the journey. The car also has the United States nuke launch code and the nuclear switch for the president. It can also withstand a chemical or germ warfare or even a bomb attack. Obama will be accompanied on the trip by U.S. First Lady Michelle Obama and their daughters, Malia and Sasha. Holy macaroni. All right, Big Will, we have you on line one. That was a mouthful. Let's go. Let me hear from you.
Namaste. Namaste,
Namaste. Namaste, Big Will.
Okay. It is great to hear such wonderful news about our president traveling to the mother country called India. And, yes, you are correct, Tara, it is a 5-day festivity. It goes from the 6th to the 11th. And yes, we are hearing through the grapevine that our commander will indeed introduce our galactic brothers and sisters. So hold on to your heads, kiddies. It's going to be exciting. Namaste.
All right, Commander, we heard you, and we're all very, very happy that we're coming down the road here on the finish line to this whole situation.
Yeah.
And that we've gotten the opportunity to do this together.
Lakshmi is the goddess of abundance and wealth, and at this time, I will just take a moment to say that we need help to pay our rent.
Yes, we do. And please help, because our landlady, our Sikh friend, Satgur Prashad, she also requires to get tires for winter time up here in the mountains, and that needs to be done very, very urgently. for her safety, and she depends on this rent. And so I'm urging everyone who is able to come within earshot of this to really help now for this situation as we are watching the transpiration of our freedom, holy flame, and the Sarah at the same time.
Yes, like Ashtar said, right now we are moving forward, even though this story here is going on. It is being dealt with, and the ramifications of what happened last night, courtesy of elections that are bought and paid for, go to the highest level that have to do with our justice, where it is, in a sense, Miss Sotomayor and Miss Elena Kagan justices. I would think they need to be called by their justice, you know, Your Honor, at this time, because they are wearing those, they are wearing the robes of a judge, yet they can turn them around and they can be white rather than black.
Their collars are, I think they're not white, they turn them purple.
They're purple.
They're purple, and that's talking about they move themselves out of the statutory venue, and they move into the common law venue.
And this has to do with the Hague and the UN and all the different nations going on, and they just sent another war criminal to the Hague that is from Africa that has done very horrendous things. And Bill is Minnesota is on line A1.
Hi, Bill.
Yes, I want something more concrete, down to earth, our level, so we can understand why there was such a dramatic change. Was it finagled by vote counting or what was it? I know you said they bought the elections, but how did they manage to arrange it to be such a dramatic dumping of the Democrats, especially since Obama is supposed to be bringing in Nasera eventually. Why did this happen this way today or yesterday?
Very good, very, very, very good. And Bill, the reason why is because the people have to see and witness the terrible treasonous acts before their very eyes. Remember that this is treason, what Mr. Opus Dei and five members of that Supreme Court have done by making corporations people and by allowing foreign corporate investments in the outcome to pay it forward. And who was the collector of all this money? None other than the same Schweinhund. You might call Schweinhund Karl Rove, who rigged our freedom right out of our hands for the whole nine yards of the Bush administration. And including outing Valerie Plame, that means he's responsible for the murdering of over 100 of her agents by execution immediately when he leaked that information. And he got the information, believe it, he got it from Bush Jr. And Bush Jr. passed it to him through a pimp. What was his name again? The young
Jeff Gannon.
Jeff Gannon, who they stole off the street from his mother and turned into a pimp. And Mr. Gonzalez was very helpful in those kinds of operations. We're talking about sex gates to the point of using and spitting up and murdering the children that they have in droves from third world countries been importing for their pleasures and their execution time. We are in hard times, as Stephen Colbert said. We are not in end times.
John Stewart,
right. And he literally made it clear in his message on last Saturday, that was the case, and that every damn day we strive for goodness and what we the people represent in this country. And these guys have got to show themselves to any other person who thinks that their programming is justifiable to the extent of overlooking that our Supreme Court, 5 of these members are guilty of high treason and being traitors. We have a little homework, and yes, it had to go this far. It had to go to the point where we find out who Rahm Emanuel really is as head of the Mossad in this country. That means he had to make sure that that was possible for Valerie Plame to be outed and for her people over there. That's the same Mossad that got him executed over there. This is serious business. There's another Vatican operation. It's called the P2 Lodge. It's the Masonic Lodge. And they are also in bed with Opus Dei. And these 5 judges are all Opus Dei too. That means they are all connected with the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, and the Vatican. And they are responsible for all the genocide, all the rape, and all the murdering of the young beings on our planet and their mothers, especially of children and their mothers of color on this planet. And using the fathers of color for servitude beyond morality, it's impossible for us to conceive of. Teaching them as young boys to kill with a gun and other ways of torturing their own kind. This is the most heinous of criminals. And that is Mr. Boehner. And that is Rand Paul and his father, I am sorry to say. And a few more folks that we have been holding in the light and continue to hold in the light, and continue also now with justice to proceed, for these arrests to be vilified or not, is for the people to witness. I am so sorry to see this. And Barack Obama is on a journey to put an end to this for good, where East meets West, where Lakshmi comes into the field, where the new year of India in the goddess enters the sphere of Earth as a planet, where a planetary Aboriginal Moabite nation was defiled and denied its right to be voted on 9/11 by the same hyenas characters we're describing here, same ones that John Stewart said, let's call for some return to planetary sanitary. Same ones that are going to be meeting on 11/11/2010. This 11/11, the last day of Duval, and who are meeting in the face of being crushed by the foot of the Divine Mother on the head of that serpent. That one in all of us. That mother energy comes now, and she takes no prisoners. And we must know that the highest love we could give right now for all of this, which we are witnessing, that they have proceeded in the fight of all suffering, and in addition to. I don't know if I've answered your question sufficiently for now, Bill, or if you want to go further with this.
Both John Stewart and Keith and Steve Colbert, White Knights?
Yes. 100% yes.
I see.
And if you haven't seen the speech that Steve Colbert gave at Bush Jr.'s White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2006, you wouldn't even want to ask me that question because he exposed him in that. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, then. Thank you, Commander. Is there more?
That's... now, with this election, is that going to have to go the route of Obama's 2 years, or what? Or is this trip bringing a subtle ending to what he's done so far?
Neither. The ones that are the criminals will be arrested, and those who are true to our government will be a skeleton crew, along with the intercession of the World Court and other appointments that will be made by necessity to positions of critical need at this time. And we will be shifting to a roundtable governance of a galactic nature, and we will have full disclosure in a simulcast with the arrest and the announcement of Nassara and all other things of deliveries being ordered. All those things will be happening in perfect alignment, along with the Lavender Lad showing up on screen. Correct, Commander?
That is what I understand.
As well as Ted Kennedy showing up on that stage. And that was by the words of Caroline Kennedy to Rama maybe 2 or 3 days ago.
That is correct, because it has to do with the healing that goes back to the ancient Celts and the story of Babylon.
And Magdalene.
Yes. And
which we have yet to finish reading to everyone.
This story of Babylon, this is what's going on right now in Baghdad, and the issues about whether to buy dinars or not, and which are Iraqi dollars, and I have no idea about...
No need for that right now.
I would just say stick with American gold coins and Canadian gold coins is what my hearing has been told to me by Sam Cedar and Randy Rhodes and Mike Malloy. And I would just say that there are many stories that go to the sky with all of this right now that has to do with a complete change of the issues at hand, where right now what is being brought in is this man doesn't go and rent 700 or 800 rooms?
It's not those particular rooms. It's about using the entire facility for a galactic communication with...
conference.
With the conferring of White Knight activities on the ground, including leadership that are working for the light. And that means people like Dalai Lama will be there. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few others, I mean...
galactic dignitaries.
What about Sai Baba? What about a few others of those kind of folks, Ron?
I would just say that, you know...
what kind of leadership? And what about Desmond Tutu? What about a few people?
I have no idea who would come other than they will show up as they come.
And, let's just say Mr. Mandela and...
Winnie.
Yeah, well...
and I don't know, you know, nobody's...
she's been incognito, everyone, for quite some time because they took out her daughter. This is the evil we're exposing, everybody. This is the things that have been out of sight and out of mind in the American people, and it cannot be that way any longer.
No, it can't. It has to do with the final conclusion of this lingua, and this has to do with how we are going home right now. And it's always been in a certain way. We've always known this stuff. We've either forgotten it or we haven't discovered it as of yet in these timelines. And it's not new, the wisdom. And it goes back to Babylon because of what happened between, you could say, some bad blood issues between brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and oh my, it is at such a level right now where all the ancient feuds and grudges are being let go of. This brings in that peace of Agartha and Shambhala, and right now all the particles, the photonic energy that is being talked about, that is coming in right now, is pointing to that energy shifting in this timeline right now that has to do with Diwali, this election, this moon, the new moon in Scorpio at this time. That also just happens to fall on the seventh day of the galactic underworld, the beginning of the seventh day. All of these indications, there's been a huge volcano that has gone off in some, Indonesia in the last 24, 48, 72 hours.
Well, where is it? Did you print it out?
No, I just saw it on Huffington Post today, and somebody talked about it on the news. I think it was that guy in the afternoon on Al Jazeera that we watch. Ali, I can't
remember. It would always be good to get the stats on something that's geological like that, Rama.
But it was a big volcano.
And I'm just saying.
Yeah. And right now, all of this has to do with what is being brought to us as a new understanding for a new yuga, Sat Yuga, where there is 100,000 years of peace. And we learn what it is to create universes that have never experienced war. And they've already been in existence. We may get to meet these folks now. That is the piece that hasn't yet come to play. And it has to do with cultures, people that may not look like us, if we could call them people. I mean, there are cultures that live in petri dishes that communicate through electrical impulses, yet it is a group of life forms that have every right to a voice to speak up. And I'm just saying, everyone is coming now to the round, Stargate round table, to share their rainbow colors that has to do with the healing of all these worlds. And right now, these dragons, of which the white dragons, the black, the red, the yellow, the green, the blue, and on with the rainbow colors, they're all being called to active understanding and awareness that the cells are speaking up and saying, I need to talk to you. Because I hear it. And I am just saying it is affecting me as I hear it with all the other life forms out there. and it is about the healing on all worlds right now. And I would just say, these ones, first they go to the Hague, then they go to the Solar Tribunal on Saturn, then they go to Dracos, and love them even more. I pass the talking stick.
Well, all right, I want to go back a little bit to this Celtic thing. We read this yet. We're living it now. And okay, so I'm going to read this one section again. European racial integration. Trends that have been steadily precipitating throughout Europe and the world recently are racial intolerance and Islamophobia. Several nations in Europe are finding that right-wing groups are now being normalized into the mainstream, most notably in the Netherlands, Sweden, France, Austria, Hungary, and Denmark. It is a problem for the West in general in varying degrees. To reflect for a moment on the larger chronological perspective, the scale of this kind of racial integration has never really been tried. Has never been tried on the planet before. It is a phenomena of the past 60 years or so. Hence, there will be naturally abuses on both sides. Immigrants who came, I'm just going to say right now, the fact that Harry Reid made it in Nevada is no small story.
No.
And then we've got, what happened in Arizona?
Oh, they,
I mean the immigration issue on who got in.
The man who has been on Keith, I can't think of his name.
The Democrat.
Yes, the Democrat, he
not,
made.
Not the other lady.
No, the one that he received a suspicious package at his office.
Oh yes, and they closed his office for
yeah,
life.
He made it anyway. He made it anyways, and Jan Brewer
is going to be arrested
anytime, along with the rest of these.
And this one that wants to use her Second Amendment, you know, and Keith has repeated it. I hope she doesn't want to do any more of that, you know. Immigrants who come to their new country will be abused by a minority of racists who are ignorant and intolerant. Other immigrants will experience the indignation of the local populace who see a minority of them abuse the social security system or who do not, cannot, through lack of education, learn the local language, breeding further resentment. There is probably none of us that has not experienced this to some degree unless you live in bubbles, in a bubble somewhere. Recently, French President Sarkozy ordered the forced expulsion of gypsies from France.
Yes.
In complete violation of EU laws and with stringent criticism from Amnesty International. Shay, these people are going to be arrested now. Across the planet, we're going into G20. It would be really good to just go ahead and do that. All of them. Shades of pre-World War II Germany. That's what they're calling this. And more recently, German Chancellor Angela Merkel declared that multiculturalism had utterly failed in her country. Really, has it? The danger currently unfolding is that the situation could easily escalate and be blown out of proportion to suit the needs of politicians, media influence, and so forth. Since the first ray force of Shambhala has been increasing in its force directly to humanity in the past 100 years, first ray of Shambhala, I would say.
The blue.
Is that right?
From Archangel.
Archangel Michael,
Excalibur Blue. Okay.
Yeah.
The point of Leif and Akbar the Great
El Moria.
El Moria, yes. Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
All of these beings actually exemplified this electric blue sword of truth, Excalibur energy. The point of least resistance politically has been a lean to the right toward fascism. Erudite thinkers today argue that this is already the case and that places like the USA and some nations in Europe are subversively fascist, yet hide behind the mask of democracy or freedom, where control and diminishing freedom are the order of the day. Fascism or dictatorship is the first-rate system to which first-rate personalities Germany and the Nazis fell foul. Democracy is a second-rate system for which second-rate souls, Britain and the United States, have been exemplars. Yet the insidious creep of fascist tendencies in these and other nations have been quite evident recently. Perhaps it is something that comes every 10 years, a first-rate cycle, around the year 2000. Similar observations were made. One key esoteric reason for the difficulty of Arab Islam assimilation and integration is most ancient. Of the five sub-races of this fifth root race, the Arab Semitic is the third. The Northern European races are a mixture of the fourth Latin Celtic and fifth Nordic Teutonic Anglo-Saxon subrace. And remember, the first two are Hindu and ancient Mayan. And then the last three are Arab Semitic Jews. And then number four, Latin Celtic. And then number five, Nordic Teutonic Anglo-Saxon. Now, just think I will back up one more page here because we're talking about the celebration of Diwali, which is Hindu celebration. And we're also talking about a Western celebration of the ancient Mayan Khan, which is not a mistake either. And this has to do with this Libra Blue Moon 2010 that we came across already.
Now we're moving into the new moon in Scorpio.
And then we go into, the new moon. I'm going to just say this. That today being a 11:33, this Libra Blue Moon had to do with also the 33 minors and all the symbolism of the return of Archangel Michael's sword of truth. In the camp Holt, which is Archangel Michael's twin flame, Lady Master Holt, another name for Lady Master Morningstar. All of these energies and the Phoenix Rising, it was called the rescue capsule was dubbed the Phoenix 2.
Is
one of
the
Pluto's symbols and the Phoenix Firebird that resurrects itself from its own ashes. Well, we're talking about the Phoenix Rising. Scorpio, in its true days, are only 7 days from the 23rd of November to the 29th of November, which would have to do with, where's that book of, where's the astrology book? Here it is. Right here, everybody. Just want to look this up because Michael Moore is about to what, Rama?
Michael Moore is about to be on The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell.
How do you know?
They just advertised it. Oh, my.
I didn't get that one going either. Just where is it? How come it's not saying?
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's still on.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
it's very strange. See where it says number 2?
Yeah, I know.
Let me see if it's on here.
All of the completion of this story has to do with foreign corporations who have been playing since the time of Rome. And let us just say the land of the living Buddhas is where empires go to die. And I will just say it is time for all the empires, all of this is completing itself as we go into Diwali.
I don't understand why it won't record. I don't understand. I can't play any of this if it's not going to record.
Not sure why.
Well, maybe you've got to work with this at the satellite office. It's got to be figured out. Or maybe it's on a different recording station. Huh? Well, I will talk, but you have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we're going to lose the whole thing. We've already lost everything. We didn't get Keith Olbermann on there or nothing, even though it's section 40. That's a serious problem.
It looks like it just was there.
Yeah, all of that's there, but it's not recording on the button up there. And it's not on the recording station right there. Maybe it's on something else, but it's not there.
Oh, sure.
I mean, we've got to figure it out right now. I just heard something wrong. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead here. And, okay, so, on Saturday the 6th, I was just going to say here, James Earl Jones' birthday. Is that day. He was born 1921. So that would make him, let's see, in 2001, he would be 80. So in 2010, that means he's 80. 1 plus 9.
He's, I got it to go to.
He's 89.
So,
what? No, he's 88. Well, Rama, you just got to make sure that it's got the red dot up there. It's not showing that. So, and that shouldn't be there. That shouldn't have an all at the last word. Maybe that's the problem. You've got to get rid of that all and get rid of all of that. Maybe that's what happened. It won't record because it recorded a whole bunch of last words and we've got to cancel them. Because there's only a certain amount of hours. And we've got to go look and see on that board. I'm sorry, everybody. We just got to correct something. See where it says the last word? It's not,
yeah.
You got to cancel all those last words. That's why it's not doing the right thing.
Okay.
You gotta cancel them all. So you gotta go and cancel every last one of them. Or you've just gotta get rid of the word all. Somehow, and then it will, I don't know, you've gotta figure out how to cancel all of that. That's why it's not supposed to. Oh dear. Okay, so. Let me go here and go back. And just say that this Mayan calendar code for the seventh day today, combined with this coming up on Friday, and your birthday, Richard, that's all within the 3 days. Your birthday is within starting yesterday until, Wednesday and Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday is the new moon, in Pacific time. And, in the Eastern time zone, it's on Saturday morning at 12:52 a.m. On Saturday's Eastern time zone. So we're going to go here and just say Diwali or Dihawali is not only a festival of light, it also marks the beginning of the Hindu New Year. It is one of the most important Indian national celebrations, as it is believed that the Hindu goddess of good luck visits all homes that are brightly lit. Children make deep, which are small. You've got to clear up the basic thing that says all in the program where it is. Okay, you get it? Okay, then you should be able to record it now. As long as it's all erased, it should all be crossed out. Everything deleted. Including everything, and then you should be able to go ahead and find the last word again and record it. And press the record button on the station right now. Children make deeps, which are small clay lamps, to light and bring the good luck goddess, which is Lakshmi, to their home, so they can receive new clothes and toys. And you have to re-record, or see if it's recorded now. You have to re-record Rachel for the next one and Keith Oberman for the next one, as well as the last word for the next one, because none of those are recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that one, and then the next one for Rachel, and then the next one after that. Got to record all of them. I would put though, before recording that, I would put the Steve Colbert and the Jon Stewart show on first. So I would cancel what you just recorded now, and then go do theirs first, because otherwise it won't be watchable. Okay. I'm so sorry, everybody. We had to do the technical thing. It is one of the most important, yes, in their home, so they can receive new clothes and toys. The first day of Diwali is also a new year of business. Business. New business. Everyone, Barack Obama heading out on the 5th for new business for this Diwali. All companies pay off debt, and their cars are decorated with flowers and palm leaves to bless the vehicles to run well in the new year. The customs of wearing new garments and exchanging gifts and greetings have come to be associated with Diwali, probably because of this New Year celebration, of these New Year celebrations. Accordingly, most of the traditions of a New Year celebration are all present. The occasion sees the spring cleaning and whitewashing of houses, decorative designs, or rangoli are painted on floors and walls to greet the new year. Fresh flowers, exchanges of gifts, new clothes, meetings with friends and family, and feasts are part of the colorful festival. Each region of India celebrates Diwali in its own way, yet the lighting of many small earthenware oil lamps is common throughout the country, setting homes and gardens aglow with twinkling lights The lamps are symbolic of the victory of the light of goodness and the knowledge over the darkness of evil and ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
The lighting of the lamp is also a way for people to show thanks for the good things in their lives. If you see that Michael Moore is going to come on, then we'll just start it. Do you think we should turn it on?
No, I'm not sure yet.
Okay, you just say so. May the festival of life be the harbinger of joy and prosperity for all. As the holy occasion, and it says here that, you know, light up your house. Get some little light. It's Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's something very special about all of this. Okay, let's celebrate this. Leading us into truth and light, Diwali is celebrated on a nationwide scale on Naraka Chaturthi Day, on the dawn of Amavasya, during the Hindu month of Ayyappa, September, October, every year. Well, it's in November this year. It symbolizes the age-old culture of our country, which teaches us to vanquish ignorance that subdues humanity and to drive away darkness that engulfs the light of knowledge. Diwali, the festival of life, even today in this modern world, projects the rich and glorious past of our country and teaches us to uphold the true values of life. Diwali is the easy to pronounce form of Deepavali. In Sanskrit, Deepavali is the marriage of two Sanskrit words, Deepa, as in Deepak Chopra without the K, meaning light, and Avali, meaning a row. So a row of light. Indeed, celebrating the row of light forms one of Diwali's main attractions. Every home, huts of the poor, to the mansions of the rich are aglow with the orange glow of twinkling diyas, D-I-Y-A-S. Lighting these small earthen lamps, welcome Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth and prosperity. Multicolored rangoli designs, floral decorations, and fireworks lend vivid, colorful imagery and grandeur to this festival, which heralds joy, mirth, and happiness in the ensuing year. This festival is celebrated on a grand scale in almost all the regions of India, and is looked upon in some parts of India as the beginning of the new calendar or financial fiscal year. For those who believe Diwali, no wonder Barack's heading out over that place. There are no mistakes in these plans. These are divine plans with galactic intervention at hand in every bit of it. Oh, where was I? For those who believe Diwali begins a new financial year, tidy up your accounts and are much more tidy up their accounts and are much more apt, coincidence, to hold grand pujas and devotional displays for goddess Lakshmi. As such, the blessings of Lakshmi, the celestial consort of Lord Vishnu. Oh, excuse me. It's not Brahma, Rama. It's Lord Vishnu's twin flame, Lakshmi. Forgive me, that's the great preserver of peace forever, everyone.
Yes.
Householder, the good householder. The celestial consort of Lord Vishnu are invoked with prayers. Even countries such as Kenya, Thailand, Trinidad, Siam, and Malaya celebrate this festival, yet in their own ways. Kenya? Thailand? Trinidad, which is in South America. We have some folks here that's from there. Siam and Malaya celebrate this festival, yet in their own ways. Yes, Rama?
Mary from North Carolina. Line B1.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Tara. Hi, Rama.
Hi,
greetings, ladies.
Thank you for all you guys do, as usual. I have a question. It's the beginning of the call, or kind of close to the beginning. I heard, I believe, Tara, that one of you mentioned how this story that you started off with goes back to Babylon and to Magdalene, and I heard Rama explain a little bit about how it goes back to Babylon. Were you going to discuss how it goes back to Magdalene?
Yes, we can do that. I just want you to just take a moment. We'll see if we can cover that today or if we should go there on Friday. I'm just going to see because there's something to continue here today. So, I mean, that's a condensed reading, and we will read the whole thing and get her done. How's that, Lady Master?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you for asking, because this is the age of the new Sarah, mm-hmm. which is the daughter of Magdalene, mm-hmm. undo in this age now of the Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And that daughter returned is Lady Di in the physical.
Right.
And that we mean by the age of the new Sarah. We're going to talk about the age of the 13 families renewing the 13th family in its true sense of spiritual economics being brought to the planet.
Awesome.
And that brings in our morality and our ethics again, which has to also bring in what we call the understanding and the philosophy of our founding fathers. They were deists. They believed that they had a divine inheritance and that all people did, and that it was not a privilege. It was a right to this divine inheritance. And so the divine inheritance would be our golden light bodies returned with the knowledge of which we could have the anatomy of, which would be the study of the auric space that we all occupy prior to the physical body. And of course, it surrounds the physical body, and the energies of that auric light body penetrate our physical body at all of the endocrine glands and all the acupuncture points in our body. We have spiritual acupuncture points in our body, as well as endocrine glands located in 7 major chakras. And there's many smaller chakras. There's 144 chakras in the body and 144 acupuncture points to match it. There are so many things that we are now going to be able to embrace in terms of medicine, in the terms of the higher medicine, and auric light, color, and
sound medicine and the medicine wheel. These teachings now that we've been touching on are going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the culture of our ancient Mayan peoples, of the very, very tall, white, bearded man. How many feet tall was that statue? Those Olmec heads are huge too, Rama. I don't remember, but 9 to 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
And they could not have been replicated by just a release of a sketch of something. They were too precise for that. They had real human beings that they were being made these statues from. Okay. Thank you for that question, Mary. I mean, it's going to lead to more and more stuff, but let's go back and complete this section here. So, this Diwali festival, it is surmised, dates back to that period when perhaps history was not yet written. And in its progress through centuries, it lighted the path of thousands to attain the ultimate good and complete ecstasy. Oh my goodness. Diwali is very enthusiastically celebrated for 5 continuous days, and each day has its significance with a number of myths and legends and beliefs. Dhanteras, D-H-A-N-T-E-R-A-S, marks the first day of 5 days long Diwali festival. Dhanteras festival, also known as Dantrayodashi or Dantwantari Triyodashi, falls on the auspicious 13th lunar day of Krishna Paksha in the Hindu month of Kartik, October, November, somewhere in there. Well, it ends up on the 5th of November, that first day. In the word Dantara, Dan, capital D-H-A-N, stands for wealth. On Dhanteras, goddess Lakshmi, spelled L-A-X-M-I, is worshipped to provide prosperity and well-being. Hence, Dhanteras holds a lot more significance for the business community. Choti Diwali Narak Chaturdasi. Turn the page. The day before Diwali is celebrated as Chhoti Diwali Narak Chaturdasi, or small Diwali. It is the day before Diwali is celebrated as Chhoti Diwali / Narak Chaturdasi or small Diwali, which is tomorrow, Thursday. Or in the sense of Diwali, no, that's right. It is Diwali on a smaller scale, with fewer lights lit and fewer crackers burst. Oh, I guess they do firecrackers too. The morning after Chhoti Diwali, the women of the house make beautiful colored rangoli in the doorway and the courtyard. Outside, I guess. Tiny footprints made out of rice
tapes are a special feature of the rangolis made for Diwali. In Hindu homes, Chapoti Diwali celebrations involve a ritual puja to Goddess Lakshmi and also to Rama in the evening. Songs in honor of the gods are sung and arti is performed. Lakshmi Puja on Diwali. The third day of the festival of Diwali is the most important day of Lakshmi Puja and is entirely devoted to the propitiation of Goddess Lakshmi. Well, that would be the seventh, I would believe. On this very day, Sun enters his second course and passes Libra, which is represented by the balance or the scale. Another symbol for Ma'at, Lady Master Ma'at as well, Libra, and the scale. Hence, this design of Libra is believed to have suggested the balancing of account books and their closing. Despite the fact that this day falls on an Amavasya day, it is regarded as the most auspicious. The day of Lakshmi Puja falls on the dark side of Amavasya, the strains of joyous sounds of bells and drums float from the temples as man is invoking Goddess Lakshmi in wondrous, holy, pouring in of his heart. All of a sudden, that impenetrable darkness is pierced by the innumerable rays of light for just a moment, and the next moment, a blaze of light descends down to earth from the heavens as a gold-footed deep Lakshmi alights on earth in all her celestial glory amidst chantings of Vedic hymns. A sublime light of knowledge dawns upon humanity, and this self-enlightenment is expressed through the twinkling lamps that illuminate the palaces of the wealthy as well as the lowly abode of the poor. It is believed that on this day Lakshmi walks through the green field and loiters through the by lane and showers her blessings on man for plenty and prosperity. Lakshmi Puja, or the worship of the goddess of wealth, is the main event on Diwali in North and West India. It is extremely important to keep the house spotlessly clean and pure on Diwali. Goddess Lakshmi likes cleanliness, and she will visit the cleanest house first. Boy, get down. Got to do something tomorrow. Everybody, you got to do whatever needs to be done to clean between today and tomorrow for Friday. Goddess Lakshmi likes cleanliness, and she will visit the cleanest house first. This is also the reason why the broom is worshipped on this day with offerings of haldi and kumkum, turmeric and vermilion. Lamps are lit in the evening to welcome the goddess. They are believed to light up her path. Lakshmi Puja consists of a combined puja of five deities. Ganesha is worshipped at the beginning of every auspicious act as Vignaharta, goddess Lakshmi is worshipped in her three forms. Mahalakshmi, the goddess of wealth and money. Mahasarasvati, the goddess of books and learning. And Mahakali, Kuber, the treasurer of the gods, is also worshipped. Padwa and Govardhan Puja. Padwa, the day following the Amavasya, is Kartik Sutta Padwa. K-A-R-T-I-K-S-U-D-D-H-A. P as in Paul, A-D-W-A. And it is only on this day that the King Bali would come out of Pasal Loka and rule Bulok as per the boon given by Lord Vishnu. Hence, it is also known as Bali Padyami. This day also marks the coronation of King Vikramaditya and Vikaram Samba was started from this Padwa day. I will add to this. Now let's back it up. Budi Padwa is symbolic of love and devotion between the wife and the husband. On this day, newly married daughters with their husbands are invited for special meals and give presents. In olden days, brothers went to fetch their sisters from their in-laws' home for this important day. Govardhan Puja is also performed in the north on this day. Govardhan is a small villa in Braj, near Mathura, and on this day of Diwali, people of Punjab, Haryana, Uttar Pradesh, and Bihar build cow dung, hila, decorate them with flowers, and then worship them. This festival is in commemoration of the lifting of Mount Govardhan by Krishna as per Vishnu Puran. The people of Gokul used to celebrate a festival in honor of Lord Indra and worshiped him after the end of every monsoon season. Yet one particular year, the young Krishna stopped them from offering prayers to Lord Indra, who in terrific anger sent a deluge to submerge Gokul. People were afraid that the downpour was a result of their neglect of Indra. Yet Krishna assured them that no harm would befall them. He lifted Mount Govardhan with his little finger and sheltered men and beasts from the rain. This gave him the epithet Govardhandari. After this, Indra accepted the supremacy of Krishna. This day is also observed as Anakut, meaning the mountain of food. Pious people keep awake the whole night and cook 56 or 108 different types of food for the bog, B-H-O-G, the offering of food. That's what it's called, the bog, B-H-O-G. Not bog, B-O-G, bog, B-H-O-G. The offering of food to Krishna. In temples, especially in Mathura and Nathadwara, the deities are given milk baths, dressed in shining attires with ornaments of dazzling diamonds, pearls, rubies, and other precious stones. After the prayer and the traditional worship, innumerable varieties of delicious sweets are ceremoniously raised in the form of a mountain before the deity as bog, food for Krishna. And then the devotees approach the mountain of Bahai Duj, that's B-H-A-I-B-U-J, capital D as in David, U-J, / Bahaya Duj, B-H-A-I-Y-A, capital D-U-J, and Bahai Duj, B-H-A-I, capital D-O-O-J. The fifth day of Deepavali, or Diwali, is celebrated as Bahia Duj, popularly known as Bahai Duj. The name itself denotes the day of the festival. It falls on Duj, the second day after the new moon. Okay, so the new moon is either Friday or Saturday, depending on your time zone. From Mountain is Friday, and Central is Friday, and Pacific is Friday, and in Eastern it is Saturday. This day, and so then they say the second day after that new moon. So in Eastern time, that would be Monday. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This day, Yama, or on Saturday, it would be Sunday, second day after the meeting, Sunday, Monday. It would be Tuesday morning, early Tuesday morning. So this day, Yamaraj went to his sister's house, who put an auspicious mark on his forehead for his welfare. Thus, on this day, sisters perform puja for their brothers' safety as well as their brothers' well-being. So Brother Obama's well-being, everybody, as he walks through this. And all the other brothers of light and whistleblower brothers all over the planet, all the brothers, good, bad, and ugly. Brothers in return give gifts to their sisters as a token of love. Isn't that cool? Another version is after killing Narakasur, Lord Krishna went to his sister Subhadra. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Who welcomed him in the traditional way by showing him a light and putting on his forehead a tilak for her sisterly protection. After killing Narakasur, we gotta look that up. Who's Narakasur? We gotta look that up, Mama. Well, go ahead and do it right now. That might be another name for Lucifer or something. Another myth behind this is N-A-R-A-K, Narak, A-S-U-R, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Another myth behind this begins as when Bhagavan Mahavir found Nirvana, his brother Raja Nandivardha was distressed because he missed him and was comforted by his sister Sudarshana. Since then, women have been revered during this festival. The festival of Diwali is not complete without Bahaya Duj in the Hindi-speaking belt, Bab Duj in the Marathi speaking communities, and Baha'i Folksa in the Bengali, to the Bengali, and in Nepal by the name of Baha'i Kika. Diwali is a personal, people-oriented festival when enmities are forgotten. Forgiveness happens there, everybody. Families and friends meet, enjoy, and establish a word of closeness. Reflecting this essence, Baha'i Guj has its own importance in continuing to maintain the love between brothers and sisters, for it is the day of food sharing, gift giving, and reaching out to the innermost depths of the heart. Ronald, why wouldn't Maitreya be at this meeting at the Taj Mahal?
Why wouldn't he be?
Well?
Don't know.
Would that be the one that, you know, we have listened to on Link TV?
Rajpatal.
Yes.
Sipa Sipa.
My gosh, everyone, I can't wait to see what this is going to say, what's going to happen here. Diwali is a personal, people-oriented festival. When enmities are forgotten, families and friends meet, enjoy, and establish a word of closeness. Reflecting this essence, Baha'i Guj has its own importance in continuing to maintain and preserve the love between brothers and sisters, for it is the day of food sharing, gift giving, and reaching out to the innermost depths of the heart. As a festival of light and beauty, it encourages artistic expression through home decoration, stage play, elocution, competition, singing, and dancing programs, making gift items, and making delectable sweets, thereby discovering new talents of younger people. As a result, innumerable communities with varying cultures and customs mingle together to make high food celebrations a very happy occasion for all concerned. Okay, I think we should play that beautiful music that we downloaded today. And then we'll go to Michael Moore, a special exclusive on the last word that we just saw here. So everybody, thank you for your ears being really closely attuned to the listening time here that we've been given. And we'll give you the phone numbers before we go to that song so that you can contemplate calling in as you wish. And the numbers are you ready for the song, Rebel? The numbers are 413-415-1115-20. Again, that is 530-413-4511-15-20. And again, before we go to the song, everybody, while we're playing this song, please press the button at BBS Radio, the PayPal button for tonight's show, which is the Galactic Healing show for Wednesday evening. What you do is you go to BBS Radio Station 2 on the home page at the top. In the middle, there's a button, and you push it for Station 2. And then you scroll down when you get to Station 2 home page until you see the names of the schedules of the events for the day, and you find the one for Galactic Healing. Okay? And then you click on that, and then you scroll down one more time. And there you'll find the PayPal button. And we do need to make some generous donations. That's, it's been very, very scared in last week's kitty pot. And so let's be valiant in these moments now and
let's continue now to pay it forward. And again, please help us with this, and Lady Master Lakshmi, and let's all in divine gratitude now listen to this beautiful celebratory music of, in honor of Lakshmi and Diwali. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous. Okay. So, do we have anybody here that has something to say? Okay, again, 413, right? 45, 11, or 15, or 20. Now, let's just go to... That's all set up and playing, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not. You didn't set those things up.
I did.
No, it's not set up and it's not recording, so something's not right. You have to do it. You have to go do it now. We have to fix it. We did not fix it, and I can't.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do it.
Rama, you got the other stuff to record. Now you have to do the other stuff. This has to be recorded.
The saying is being recorded. It's begun.
No, but it has to be on there. And it's not on there, so if it's not on there, it's not recording. Then I can show you how it's not recording.
Okay.
As it's right there, which means that maybe you recorded it on all. You know, when you record these things, you know how you have to do it. Let me show you. Let me just show you right now, because you have to do this. You're making a big mistake.
Okay.
On the way you're doing it.
For instance, there. Now, that's for November 3rd. No. One second, everybody. What do we do here? Okay, why is it still, okay, it's not. Okay, now let's do this. I'm sorry, everybody. Try this one more time. Now you have to go over here, mm-hmm. and you have to go down again, and then you have to go down again, and then you click there.
Mm-hmm.
So you pull it from the all to the one,
mm-hmm.
and then you hit this again. Now this one, there's something not happening. Orchard TV 1. And it's recording to nothing. See, it's not recording. So you've got to work with that and fix that. I can't play. I can't do anything. We'll have to do it for the, I'm sorry, we'll have to just do this later. I'm very sorry, but there's something wrong with this and you're not, there's something that's not being done by what you did, not the point. Okay, so. All right, everybody, we're just going to go to the last word here. You want to say anything, Rama, while I'm going, I'm queuing up Michael Moore?
What is being said, I believe is quite poignant to the moment concerning these elections that have everything to do with bought and sold merchandise, which are votes, and it is quite a dance in terms of the negativity, yet the positivity that is changing right now with this seventh day.
Okay. Here we go.
In the spotlight tonight, Democrats faced a harsh reality this morning, now only in control of the Senate after losing 60 House seats in the biggest shift in power since 1948. President Obama called it a shellacking. In his press conference today, and once again, he reached out to Republican leaders.
What yesterday also told us is that no one party will be able to dictate where we go from here. That we must find common ground in order to set, in order to make progress on some uncommonly difficult challenges. I told John Boehner and Mitch McConnell last night, I am very eager to sit down with members of both parties and figure out how we can move forward together.
Wow. He really gets it. He finally understands what voters want him to do. Right? No. We'll go forward together. Well, you know, come on. Yeah, that sounds good. That's why we all like Obama as a human being. He's really a good guy. Good guy.
Like
really, really good guy.
He's very well-meaning.
He's very well-meaning.
Generous of spirit.
Generous.
Gentle. Some people
gentle
are
enemies.
He sort of thought they were enemies, but he realizes they're really just opponents.
Yeah. Here's what he doesn't get. When your opponent states clearly that our number one job in the next 2 years is to make sure you don't have a second term, our number one job is to defeat you and to embarrass you, you don't respond with kumbaya. Let's hold hands. What part of what they're saying to him doesn't he get?
You know what your opponent sounds like when he says that? An enemy.
Yeah. That's well, what he's, yeah, exactly. And what he sounds like today is,
that he's soft, he's weak, he doesn't have the courage of his convictions. You know, Americans are not ideologues. They don't really see themselves. They don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative. They're not wired that way. What they like is they like somebody who's strong and tough and smart and is going to get the job done. That's what they like. And so that's why they'll switch from election to election because that's what they like that about Reagan. Reagan just seemed to have some purpose to him.
Remember he sounded kind of tough after his election when he said to Republicans at a certain point, hey, elections matter, I won. If elections mean something, what does this election mean? We've ended up with a Republican House. We still have our Democratic president, and we have a Democratic Senate. What does this one mean?
It really doesn't mean a whole lot of anything because, as I heard E.J. Dionne from Washington Post said on one of the earlier shows tonight, that this is a whole different election crowd. I mean, first of all, he lost young people. He built up this whole movement of young people. 23 million young people voted for him. 52% of the eligible youth voted for him in 08. That was a record for young people. 23 million. Yesterday, 9 million. 9 million. That 14 million was pretty much, the difference. I had that yesterday, but a lot of young people stayed home. And that's because he dismantled the entire organization, a mailing list of nearly 14 million people, texting them, that whole organization. What if he'd spent all this time forming high school democratic clubs or college groups or doing it the 2 years? What if they just appointed somebody to get down there on the grassroots level to keep young people motivated and excited and involved and give them something to be excited about? And he didn't do that, and so he stayed home. The thing he doesn't understand is that they are going to go after him relentlessly, and they're going to call him a socialist or a Kenyan or a tribesman. And if he responds weakly, like a weakling, they won't be calling him Mr. President anymore. He's going to be unemployed in 2012. And I got to say, I think, honestly, if you want to just look into the crystal ball for a second about 2012, if the Republicans, you can see what's going on. They're going to have their own civil war. So if the Republicans
tried to start it right here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, right. And I think you have someone coming on shortly here. If they nominate one of their old traditional, stuffy Mitt Romney types as their candidate, the Tea Party is not going to settle for that. And you're going to have a third party candidate in a Sarah Palin or Rand Paul or whoever else it could be.
Or a bored billionaire like we saw in California.
Or that, yeah. Right? And that's probably Obama's best chance of getting a second term because they're going to split the vote. But, and this is the message that Obama and the Democrats need to hear. If they don't get some gumption in them, if they don't start having the courage of their convictions, if they don't end this war, if they don't put the clamp down on Wall Street, if we have another crash in these next 2 years because they didn't do the job to stop these criminals on Wall Street, if they actually expand the war, if they do anything like that, I can guarantee you, and I'm not saying that I'm part of this, but I can guarantee you there will be a Nader-esque challenge from the left. There will be a left. I don't mean in the primary.
That is where Nader came from, the sense that there wasn't an important enough distinction between Democrats and Republicans as we ended the 90s.
Right. So trust me that there's enough upset, out of work, working class people out there who are just going to say the hell with both of them, yet they have a liberal working class principles, so they're not going to vote for the Republican. There's going to be a challenge on the left. So we have a potential for one of the few times in our history of having four candidates on the ballot next time. And if that happens, that could split any which way. Someone, a liberal candidate running against Obama, could actually become president with 30% of the vote. And that's how Lincoln got elected with 39% of the vote because there were four candidates on the ballot. Harry Truman.
Right. Bill Clinton, 43% of the vote in a three-way race. By the way, Christine O'Donnell.
Yes.
40% of the vote in Delaware.
Huge witch vote.
Bill Clinton, 43% in the United States.
Yeah.
What's going on in Delaware? That's 40%, strange.
Well, I think what's going on. I first saw last night what's going on is that I don't think she's a very good witch because she,
Yeah.
I mean, or Coons is a really great warlock.
Make
one of those two.
That's a turnout. Yeah. And there's a Hollywood component here.
Yeah.
My feeling about this turnout thing, that we heard Adam Green talking about it, they didn't show up for these midterms because the youth vote was disappointed. I think this is movie star stuff. I think what you get in presidential election is a bigger turnout all the time because you get to tell people, go out and vote for your movie star, your Republican movie star, your Democratic movie star. Obama was the great movie star of all recent campaigns.
Right.
And so what you see on midterms is we're trying to open a movie without a movie star, which you've done. So, Michael Moore, I'm looking at you to tell us, how do you open a movie without a movie star? How do you get them to the polls when there's no movie star in the midterms and they've got to vote for a House member some of them have never heard of?
I think it's actually quite easy. I think you go out there, like Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, you go out there as a real person and you fight, you say something, you have some leadership. See, Obama was that way when he ran. Then he became president and he stopped being a leader and he became an insider. He tried to work it all out and compromise and see what we could do and never went to the base. I don't know about you, but I mean, I was on that list. I was getting texts every other day. Right? And I got no texts during these until like just recently. So please walk and vote. It's like, well, where'd you been? Why haven't you done it? He's got to come out of the gate now. I'll tell you one way you can do this, actually. Right now, I think there's something like 420 bills that the House has passed during the session that the Senate has refused to take up. 420 bills just sitting there for the Senate to take up. There's only in that session. They should just start passing some of these House bills right now that are already passed in the House. Send them to the Senate and have the Senate pass them. If the Republicans threaten to filibuster, let them filibuster. Because here's what some of those bills are. The Elder Abuse Victims Act to help violence against old people. The Child Nutrition Act. I mean, there's some really...
I'm in favor of that. I want children to have nutrition.
Yes.
What's wrong with me?
Well, and if the Republicans in December want to filibuster that they're against child nutrition or abuse, to stopping abuse against the elderly, let them filibuster. But start right now. There's Obama watching this. Start right now. Fire that first shot across the bow. Show the American people that you stand for something. That's why they didn't go for the Democrats.
Our economy's up there.
What? I know for sure.
Yeah, it's it.
President Obama, you're such a good guy. We all were behind you. But you've got to get it in you. I'm trying not to swear, actually. I want to say what a lot of people in Michigan and the Midwest and people who they're in fear of losing their homes right now. They've lost their jobs. I bet you if we just pulled the people here on this floor, how many of you think you're going to be working? Would you be absolutely sure you're going to be working a year from now?
Actually, these ratings are very good, so I think they're okay.
I'm sorry. I was referring to the Chris Mann.
Yeah.
Well, but seriously, I mean, people have this incredible anxiety right now, the average American. And
3 in 10 in the exit polls say someone in their household lost their job.
That's right. That's right. That's who voted. And still, when asked in terms of who do you, not the 38% of which you identify with, but who do you think can get the job done better? The Democrats still yesterday in the exit polls came out a little bit ahead of the Republicans. So there's not a huge, visceral hatred of Democrats here. It's just that the so-called leadership, all those blue dog Democrats, 47% of the blue dog, the conservative Democrats, lost yesterday. You know how many of the progressive caucus, of the progressive congressmen lost yesterday in the election? 1%. 99% got reelected of progressives. And it's very similar to what happened with Gingrich when he took over in 94. These two professors from Manchester College in Indiana did this study.
Oh,
and they found out
the room was now panicked.
They're
going to do a study.
They found out that those Democrats that stay true to their liberal position, were the ones who got reelected in 94. The ones who got bounced were the ones who tried to go to the right. If you try to go to the right or to the center, President Obama or members of Congress, you will lose. Because in the next election, when people, if they want a conservative, who are they going to vote for? Are they going to vote for the real deal, the Republican, or are they going to vote for the fake Corinthian leather? I mean, they're going to vote for the real deal.
Or the fake conservative Mitt Romney.
Michael's in your position. Michael reelected yesterday.
A series regular here on The Last Word, the man who needs no introduction and doesn't get one. MichaelMoore.com. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Michael.
Sarah Palin wasn't on the ballot last night, but she endorsed dozens of candidates across the country. We'll get the Palin 2010 scorecard. And Christine O'Donnell lost last night, but you might not have been able to tell by her concession speech. The former witchcraft dabbler makes tonight's rewrite.
Oh, my goodness, everybody. Okay, now.
Yes.
Can you finish drawing this page? And do we want to play one? You wanted to play a happy birthday song for
Richard. Yeah.
And then we should do Bill Moyers.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. You have that queued up, sweetheart?
Yeah, I do.
Is it something we're all going to enjoy?
Well, Richard would understand.
Well, will we all understand?
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, push the button.
It's, okay, it's going to the page.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Richard. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
So am I. It's a...
I am you, and what I see is me.
Okay, Rama, please explain for the rest of the folks. You know, there's a generation here gap in a certain way.
This is a song called Echoes from Pink Floyd, 1968. And it is about going through the void and that reality and coming out the other side. And let's just say it wasn't exactly, you know. I would say that I did that for Richard.
Well, you have to do it for everybody.
Yes, of course. I have another piece here to play.
Can you introduce the people who know what you're talking about now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Enya, the River Sings.
Okay. Here we go, Richard, to get Chin Song.
I gotta turn.
Everybody, I'm gonna go to the
Okay, everybody. Okay, so what do we want to do next? Let's read what Benjamin Fulford has to say. Well, not yet. All right. This is the history of how we became so enslaved, and it's by Benjamin Fulford. The way Asians view Western history is astounding beyond imagination. And just to make one more comment about Michael Moore, he's calling Barack Obama to the task now of doing the next step. And he's saying that he lost the attention of the votes of the young people, it appears, at this moment. But for what he can do now to get the attention of everyone. And this is not just a passing story that he's going over there to India to begin this journey on to Bali, and all these days now.
This is why I firmly believe, like,
and the new moon.
This is why I firmly believe Richard Hoagland said it so well in the hyperdimensional election of Barack Obama.
And Barack Obama actually watched it, right?
Tom Hartman watched it. He talked about it for 10 minutes this morning. It's not in his archives, and it has to do with the FCC. And
in other words, he talked about this particular film.
Yeah.
And it was cut out by the FCC on his morning show at 10 o'clock.
That's right.
That was noon, actually, Eastern time, 10 o'clock our time.
That's right.
That's pretty trippy, everyone. Anyway, okay, so here we are with the history of how we became so enslaved by Benjamin Fulford. How the Celtic peoples were enslaved by Babylonian tyrants. Now, Mary, you asked this question about what does Babylon have to do with it all, and we actually read something about this, and Lord Jamal talked about it, although he got it completely. He got the covered up version, and we're uncovering it all together. Now listen again, we'll read this again. The way Asians view Western history is astounding beyond imagination. We learn that everything we have been taught is a lie. We learn that we are being manipulated and herded like sheep by a secret elite. We learn that we live in a matrix of lies designed to keep us in slavery. The implications are so vast that it is hard to know where to begin. Ultimately, we really understand we must go back to the beginnings of Western civilization. You know what? I think you need to take all of the shows. You must have put them on there for all, for Steve and for David's show. You better go look on the board and see, and cancel all of it and then start over. Cancel everything that's up there in that board. That means here. It's not working. So that means to go up here and cancel all of these things. So we do that one. All of those. Cancel. This one's not canceled. No. Cancel all of them. Okay? And then start over. Okay. At the very dawn of history, humans began farming along the banks of the Euphrates River. People soon started digging canals. The resulting cornucopia created a population boom. Fights between alpha males escalated into a never-ending frenzy. from these constant battles for the supremacy, arose a tyrant who created a system for manipulating and controlling large masses of people. It was a system of laws combined with a system of mind control. His name was Hammurabi. His system of mind control was to create a book combining folk wisdom with propaganda, and then we called it the Bible. Because he could not be everywhere at once, he created the idea of an omniscient, omnipresent being that could see all and know all. In the book where this idea was introduced, Hammurabi had himself referred to as Abraham. Later, a symbol of that God was created. It was an all-seeing eye on the top of a pyramid, fire in the center. So he created a dictatorial symbol for the Anunnaki warlords to become our gods and to enslave us in their idea of what God does. So, while the Mesopotamians, that's why it's extremely dangerous to interpret literally the Bible. That is incorrect. To interpret the Bible literally is not the way it was meant to be understood at all. And therefore, people who are doing that are treading on a very dangerous turf called takeover of the people rather than freedom of the people. So, while the Mesopotamian people built on the idea of an almighty God, there also actually existed behind the scenes a bearded man on a throne with godlike powers over his people, like we played the Wisdom, the Secret of Oz last week on Friday, everybody. Remember they pulled the curtain away and what was behind there, a bearded man on a throne with godlike powers over his people. Did you get this undone?
No.
Did you? So you can record it right now, whatever's left of it. I have to see that you have been able to do that, otherwise you haven't successfully got rid of it. What do you mean you don't know how to do it? You have to figure that out because you've got it in that position. You have to, Rama. You have to fix what you made funny. You have to get rid of it. Go above to the one above it first. Get rid of the one above it first. Up above it. Oops. You couldn't press the right place. I'm sorry, everybody. We have to put this over here and go above it. And that was too neat. Was that too neat? No. You're going to have to call him up because you made a mess. You have to call him up because you made a mess. You're going to be responsible for that. Okay, at the very dawn of history, humans began farming along the banks of the Euphrates River. People soon started digging canals. The resulting cornucopia created a population boom. Fights between alpha males escalated into a never-ending frenzy. From these constant battles for supremacy arose a tyrant who created a system for manipulating and controlling large masses of people. It was a system of laws combined with a system of mind control. His name was Hammurabi. His system of mind control was to create a book combining folk wisdom with propaganda, because
He could not be everywhere at once. He created the idea of an omniscient, omnipresent being that could see all and know all. In this book, where this idea was introduced, Thomas Ravi had himself called Abraham. Later, a symbol of that God was created. It was an all-seeing eye on the top of a pyramid, which is still sitting in our dollar bill. So while Mesopotamian built the idea of an almighty God, there is also actually existed behind the scenes the man on the throne with godlike powers over the people. To control and awe his people, great displays of miracles and wonders were engineered, as in the Antichrist energy. You see what's on the bottom of this. That's the number one thing. Maybe go upstairs and see if you could figure out what's going on with that one upstairs. Maybe that's what's inhibiting this from being reported. See if you can do it on the upstairs one. Get rid of it and get this to be recording. Something's wrong. A special sect of slave drivers was created to control people on behalf of the God King. This was the origin of the Freemasons. It took place 5,771 years ago. Later, the tribe of the God King invaded Egypt, and the Masons added Egyptian slave-driving technology to their arsenal. Thus started over the millennia, a sort of parallel cultural evolution between a ruling elite and the unwashed masses. We saw the rise of a group of elite families that keep their rule over the ignorant through a combination of control over grain supplies or money supplies, knowledge, information, and finally control over life and death. People who learned about this elite were either inducted into it, killed, or neutralized by assorted other means, such as bankruptcy or ridicule. There were many rebellions against these rulers. One notable one was by a person called Jesus the Christ. He spoke about things such as men being born free and equal, about basic human dignity, about the duty to protect the weakest members in society. Although he was executed for treason, a lookalike of him, one of the disciples was executed for treason that was not committed, and his name was Aruhabi, except that there was a deal made behind the scenes, and Judas Iscariot made the deal, and the dark side killed Judas Iscariot. Yet, he was not killed. Aruhabi, the deal that Judas Iscariot or Thaddeus made with Pontius Pilate was not to kill him, just to walk him and put him up there. And they did not kill him. Even though the spear wasn't supposed to go into the heart, it did not kill him. And the oil that the body was anointed with by Magdalene and Mary, Mother Mary, and were the oils of one who was alive to be resuscitated by the oil. And that's a big difference, everyone. And no, he did not die. And he did be able to transmute his body in the sepulcher into a fifth dimensional light body. That means that he was a spiritual adept on the sixth dimension, our Aruhabi was, where he was able to pass his test by being placed in a sepulcher for 72 hours with just little or no air in there, no food and no water, and he was actually able to go into the next dimension, meaning the sixth dimension, and keep his body alive for 72 hours. That is amazing stuff. That is amazing stuff. Okay. Again, although it appears he was executed for treason, his radical ideas spread like wildfire among the poor and the downtrodden. His spirit didn't leave at all, and he did transmute to the fifth dimensional life body and stay with everyone on the earth. And still to this day is here. Our Robbie is in a physical body, physical at the fifth dimension where he can show up, and many followed in the footsteps in the last 2,000 years. And this is exactly what we have when we say we've got 16 million sovereign militia forces that are not sincere and that have manifested themselves in a body that's fifth dimensional yet can be viewed as a physical body as well. As the Romans invaded Judea and scattered the Jews, the Masons began offering their services to other kings as well as other despots. One faction of them eventually convinced the Roman Empire by the name of Constantine in 325 A.D. To compile a book that would both encompass the folk beliefs of his people and provide a way to herd them like sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. This was the birth of the Roman Catholic Church. Over the years, it expanded, absorbing ideas from other religions and folk beliefs along the way. Ideas that were not considered palatable were persecuted relentlessly in an effort to preserve and maintain a universal mental monoculture. Appeared. Religious Christianity as well as Judaism, by reflecting the folk wisdom of the ages, really do represent the real God in a scientifically provable manner. They reflect the cumulative ancient human understanding of the reality of the universe that God created. Well, you can go upstairs and do it now because it has to be fixed now because by 11 o'clock we have to be able to record the book. The ideas that people found they liked in the Bible were selected by a process of natural cultural selection. In other words, people responded to the parts of the Bible that reflected what was in their hearts and what their own experience of the real world told them. Thus, the Celtic peoples were naturally as well as gradually assimilated into this culture with a few holdouts, such as Halloween. The Reformation of Martin Luther was a rebellion against the Catholic monoculture, as well as the system of thought control originating in Rome. Later, people with persecuted ideas found freedom in the New World, and as a result, America flourished as no civilization before. Yet, in parallel to this genuine religious feeling of the people, the secret manipulators also evolved increasingly sophisticated ways to control the masses. One group of people used an offshoot of the original Hammurabi school of Masonic mind control technology to create a large kingdom in Central Asia. They were known as the Khazars. They were defeated by the Rus and Mongol, or the Rus and Mongol empires, or you might say the Russian and Mongolian empires, and their elite class fled
with their treasures and their knowledge into Europe and into China. Here's the Khazars. They're the equivalent of Nazis of the Russian and Mongolian time. The elite class, that is, who are trying to control from those ethnicities. The ones who fled to China were forced to flee again to Japan after the Mongol Kublai Khan conquered China. The ones who fled to Europe curried favor with kings and princes and offered them their secret Masonic people herding technology. Eventually, a very elite group of them intermarried successfully with the royalty and became the ruling family of Europe. They were known as the Rothschilds, and their secret rule of Europe continues to this day. Although they try to stay hidden, and their past is filled with great evil, they also deserve much credit for helping make Europe and European culture so dominant in the world. One of their secrets was to drive the people into conflict and war, both to strengthen them through competition and to profit from the sale of arms. Creating war also made the Celts easier to control because, in times of turmoil, people turned to their king for protection, as in the divine right of kings, where the kings could torture their own population and still be able to reign on the throne as if they were the king. And they had the divine right over all other people as slaves. Rongo in the Congo. The Rothschilds used money looted from India to finance the American Revolution. Another reason why Barack Obama is going to India right now, because the original Nasara program goes back to the time of Abraham Lincoln. And let me see how they say this here. To do the American Revolution, well, I guess it goes back to the Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War, the War for Independence. And that goes to the ancient Moorish tradition of this land, everybody. And that means before the land broke up and the Atlantic Ocean showed up, Morocco was, the entire eastern seaboard was Morocco. The whole thing. Ancient Moorish law. That Declaration of Independence reflects that. Moorish law, and all Moors are Freemasons, same teaching. And the Rosicrucian is the one who wrote the Freemasonic teachings and the teachings of the Holy Rosy Cross of the Celtic teachings of the Celtic religion. The ones who fled to Europe curried favor with kings and princes and offered them their secret Masonic people herding technology. Eventually, a very elite group of them intermarried successfully with the royalty and became the ruling family of Europe. They were known as the Rothschilds, and their secret rule of Europe continues to this day. Although they try to stay hidden and their past is filled with great evil, they also deserve much credit for helping
to make Europe and European culture so dominant in the world. One of their secrets was to drive the people into conflict as well as war, both to strengthen them through competition and to profit from the sale of arms. Creating war also made the Celts easier to control, because in times of turmoil, people turned to their king for protection. The Rothschilds used money looted from India to finance the American Revolution. Their aim was to strengthen their hand against the King of England. That is why Freemasonry is also central to American history. There was true idealism in their American adventure at first. However, American democracy proved to be unruly and hard to control. To keep the Americans under stricter discipline, they waged a 137-year battle to gain control of their currency. Control a people's money, and you control their nation, their rations. It is the modern equivalent of keeping control over the keys to the granaries. When their agents got control of the United States Federal Reserve Board in 1913, they immediately began preparations for war. Armed with American wealth, they triggered World War I. They conned the peace-loving Americans into the war by sinking the Lusitania. They were also capable of and able to subdue their long-term nemesis, Imperial Russia, by creating the Soviet Union. When Germany was defeated, they demanded and got punitive tribute payments. World War II was staged for several reasons. To reduce the world population, to gain profit, and to scare the Jews out of Europe and into Palestine. The Baron Rothschild, Adolf Hitler, got a little bit too ambitious and got off the long-term script of ruling the world from Mesopotamia and tried for an instant global empire with headquarters in Germany. At the end of World War II, the Masonic cabal tried to cement their control of the world by creating the United Nations. I'm going to say that again. At the end of World War II, the Masonic cabal tried to cement their control of the world by creating the United Nations with the help of Don Hammarskjöld, a Russian spy. At the time, they controlled all five permanent Security Council members. They have since lost China and Russia. So at the time, they controlled all five permanent Security Council members. Since then, they lost China and Russia. Wow. So England, the United States, Russia, China, and Japan, I guess that are the five superpowers. If I'm correct, I might be wrong.
Their biggest con job was to promote the so-called science of economics. Their so-called economics is Babylonian slaves driving technology. It is essentially a mechanism for looting the people of their money. And for example, Americans have had a certain mantra drummed into their heads nearly constantly for decades. Government is bad. Business is good. Think about it. Government represents the people. Business represents the rich. Lovely little libertarian Ron Paul and Rand Paul. Wonderful. Get rid of, downsize the government. And, you know, up the ante for corporation control. That's very scary with people acting like they don't understand what's being placed in their faces. In America, the Rockefellers and their fellow robber barons began a long-term program to complete their enslavement of the American people. They quietly and systematically gained control of the media and the textbook publishing companies, and by spreading their wealth liberally and strategically, were able to distort education. Their biggest con job was to promote the so-called science of economics. Their so-called economics is Babylonian slave driving technology. It is essentially a mechanism for looting the people of their money. For example, Americans have had a certain mantra drummed into their heads nearly constantly for decades. The government is bad, business is good. Think about it. Government representing the people, business representing the rich. Maximizing shareholder value means increasing payments of tribute to the slave-driving class. Middle-class income has been driven down, and both parents in a family are being forced to work in order to maximize tribute payments from the masses. It also forces parents to send their children to communal brainwashing institutes at an earlier, more receptive age that we call educational institutions. They're nothing but brainwashing institutes. A big turning point in the enslavement of the Americans was the broadcast of the War of the Worlds in 1938. What they learned from that is that as people will believe in a space alien invasion based on a radio play, they can be made to believe in practically anything. The age of television became the age of mass brainwashing. A few would be liberators, such as John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Bobby Kennedy were assassinated in order to prevent the Americans from regaining their freedom. Today, the empire of the Babylonian slave drivers is now under threat like never before. First of all, large masses of humanity freed themselves from a form of a Masonic slavery known as colonialism. These people then began to gain both economic and intellectual power. The biggest threat now is the rise of China and India. The 10,000 Illuminati are now outnumbered by the humans
they want to enslave by a ratio of close to 700,000 to 1. With non-controlled humanity gaining in economic, military, and intellectual power, the Illuminati feel extremely scared and vulnerable. Cultures. Rama, can you talk softer? We can hear you down here. Okay. The 10,000 Illuminati are now outnumbered by the humans. They want to enslave by a ratio of close to 700,000 to 1. With non-controlled humanity gaining in economic, military, and intellectual power, and that's why that special star in the heavens on India's New Year in 2007 or in special time, yes, in 2007, made everybody smarter. The light from that star made us all much more powerfully smarter. Since then, the Illuminati feel extremely scared and vulnerable. Cultures not under direct Illuminati control now account for 83% of the world's population and over 60% of the world's wealth. Oh my gosh, everybody, that's what it means when Russia and China are no longer under the thumb of these guys. India's in there too. To deal with this situation, David Rockefeller and the descendants of J.P. Morgan and Averill Harriman, including the Bush family, cooked up an incredibly horrendous scheme to slaughter billions of the world's free people. And then to take advantage of the trauma of slaughter to enslave the rest of the people. The plan calls for an artificial Armageddon, chemtrails for one, to be launched that would start with a never-ending war on terror, followed by plague, famine, and possibly even a fake and very lethal alien invasion fleet. The plan calls for an artificial Armageddon. The plan was so evil that it provoked a split in the Illuminati ranks. A rebel group centered around J. Rockefeller and most of the Rothschilds tried to take power from David Rockefeller and his clique with a so-called war on global warming. The plan was to neutralize one of the David Rockefeller clique's main sources of power, their control over oil. The Rothschilds also refused to finance the war in Iraq. Since their headquarters are in Europe, the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, they decided instead to try to turn the EU into a Babylonian-style world monarchy. Holy cow. To finance David Rockefeller's insane campaign, the Japanese people have been forced to work harder for a lower pay to maximize tribute payments from the Japanese. Oh, okay. You got to do it before 11. You got to do it now. Yeah. Okay, well, go ahead and do it. Okay, so you're going to have to take it all apart because we can't move it with that up here. Otherwise, you're going to have to go and unplug it from this end if you can get back into that one. Yeah, because otherwise you got to take all of that down. No, 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 no. You will cause those things to move. Yeah, you have to take it all down. You're going to do that. All right, let's go out here. No, because then it won't be able to be recorded. You have to record the Comedy Central at 11. Get another flashlight, Stephen. Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. But just don't move in. No, in terms of physically moving with it too, unless you move it from this side, then you got to move all of that stuff. Okay, let me just continue to read this one. The plan was so evil that it provoked a split in the Illuminati ranks. The plan was to neutralize one of the David Rockefeller clique's main sources of power, their control over oil. The Rothschilds also refused to finance the war in Iraq. Since their headquarters are in Europe, the Bank of International Settlements is their headquarters in Europe, they decided, the Rothschilds, instead to try to turn the European Union into a Babylonian-style world monarchy. To finance David Rockefeller's insane campaign, the Japanese people have been forced to work harder for lower pay. To maximize tribute payments from the Japanese, David Rockefeller also forced the Japanese government to hand him control of their entire banking system. The Japanese government tried to refuse and were threatened into submission with a new array of high-tech weaponry, including, as you can believe this, a weapon that caused an earthquake in Niigata, Japan. A few of them, as a matter of fact. However, despite Japanese money, the plan was coming apart at the seams and threatening to end the entire Illuminati long-term campaign to enslave humanity. The war in Iraq turned into a disaster. People caught on that 9/11 was an inside job. Vladimir Putin kicked them out of Russia. The David Rockefeller faction now only really controls North America and England. And now that the Chinese secret societies have found out about race-specific diseases being aimed at them, they will start assassinating the entire David Rockefeller faction, unless this criminally insane plan is called off. Let me read that again. The David Rockefeller faction now only really controls North America and England. And now that the Chinese secret societies have found out about race-specific diseases being aimed at them, they will start assassinating the entire David Rockefeller faction unless this criminally insane plan is called off. What the whole world really hopes for is that the American people will free themselves before this madness can proceed any further. I believe that's why Barack is going to India as well. No, no, no. Take that down. Take it all the way down. and has to be taken all the way down and put on the floor. And the boxes have to be taken down and put on the floor. That one on top has to be taken down and put on the floor. Thank you. Okay. The plan calls for an My sources for this, what the whole world really hopes for is that the American people will free themselves before this madness can proceed further. All they would have to do is arrest about a dozen of the most senior members of the David Rockefeller faction, starting with the old man himself. My goodness, you know that David Rockefeller was killed and cloned in 1997. No, before that, Rama. When was David Rockefeller originally killed and cloned? Because the clone of David Rockefeller was killed in 1997. Rama?
Yeah.
Do you know when David Rockefeller was cloned? Okay, Rama's got to focus on what he's doing. And when you're done, you'll answer, okay? Okay. My sources, for this account include a broad array of extremely senior Japanese, Chinese, and Russian government officials. And then here's some more stuff here. Deepak Chopra, 8 actions for the Gulf and beyond. And this was put out in June, on the 23rd of June in 2010. They're pulling it forward now to be read along with Benjamin Fulford's material for a very important reason, so let's find out what it is. And you can go find this. I'll give you this. It's http://... Deepak Chopra, deepakchopra.com/2010/06/ spell it out now in all small letters, the word 8, E-I-G-H-T, hyphen, actions, A-C-T-I-O-N-S, hyphen, 4-gulf-and-beyond/. So there's a hyphen between each one of the words, and though all the words are 8 actions for the Gulf and beyond. That's 7 words. And 6 hyphens in between them. 8 actions for the Gulf and beyond. The following 8 steps are things that we can all do to become involved, compiled from feedback from my questions posted here at Collective Creativity on LinkedIn, that's LinkedIn, capital IN, here at Collective Creativity on LinkedIn. Please continue your valuable contributions to this conversation and add your own. Number 1, give direct financial aid through reliable agencies such as the United Way. 2, support organizations such as Ocean Conservation Society, the Nature Conservancy, and others that are engaged in healing our ecosystems. Follow their recommendations for ways to help. 3, volunteer, and help organizations recruit others for habitat restoration activities and habitat restoration activities and more. For example, gather hair from salons, groomers, llamas, sheep fleece farmers, feather donors, and others for making oil-soaking brooms. Oh, my goodness. That's at www.mattersoftrust.org. Somebody look that up. 4, engage in global conversation and harness collective creativity with social networks such as our collective creativity group at LinkedIn. 5, make conscious choices that are green. For example, go through your cleaning supplies and stop using anything that has a signal word label with anything stronger than caution. 6, support investments in technologies that are looking at sustainability and reversal of global warming, such as Fuel Core, F-U-E-L-C-O-R, Global RE, more global. Read more of this post. Ever since the millennium commenced, you have been tossed one way or the other by events which have been imposed. Now we create events which heal. I don't know why you only got 3 of 6 pages here. You only printed out 3 of the 6 pages. So you need
because that was the end of the article and the rest was all advertisement. That's where it got packed.
No, this article's not an advertisement at all.
Oh, I know.
This is by Salusa. And so
it was a compilation of an email.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I want to see that because it is brought forward to me.
Oh, well.
So we can print that out. Later.
Yeah.
Okay. Now. No. Yes. One more song, Rama. Play a song. And then we'll go to the next thing. That's going to take a little while to get that song.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mandalander, play a song.
Okay.
Play me a song. Oh, Bill Moyer's lecture. How long is that?
1 hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, we'll have to play that on Friday.
Yes.
That's very much in alignment with the energy that we're speaking.
Yeah.
How about a Mayan song?
Oh, I haven't done that, but I have a very,
Well, you better hurry.
Okay, here goes.
Well, what is it?
Manish D. Moore.
Okay, say it loud.
Diva Primal, peaceful being.
Oh.
Thank you.
Is there anything on here that you can play off of here?
In terms of...
There was Bill Moyers, but we don't have time for that tonight.
Yeah.
But there's some other stuff on there because we see it still going around the block up there, so we can't play anything off of there. So see if you can play it off of there. Barack Obama, guess we can't do that either. All right. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to read about St. Germain. Or should I read this? Is this a good article? No, this one.
Yeah.
That one?
Obama will try it.
Okay, well, I need to find the flashlight. Okay, well, we need to find the flashlight for me to eat. Do you not fair it? We needed it for that. Did you get that? You better go upstairs and call him up because it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, then we won't be able to record anything. Oh. Okay, this is by Frank Schaefer. Obama will triumph and so will America. Before he had served even 1 year as President Obama lost the support of the easily distracted left and engendered the white hot rage of the hate-filled right. Yet some of us from all walks of life and ideological backgrounds, including this white, straight, 57-year-old former religious right-wing agitator, now progressive writer, and given my background as the son of a famous evangelical leader, this unlikely Obama supporter, are sticking with our president. Why? Because he is succeeding. We faithful Obama supporters still trust our initial impression of him as a great, good, and uniquely qualified man to lead us. Rama, find a Mayan song while we're doing it and find a good one. Obama's steady supporters will be proved right. Obama's critics will be remembered as easily panicked and prematurely discouraged at best, and shriveled hate mongers at worst. The context of the Obama presidency, not since the days of the rise of fascism in Europe, the Second World War, and the Depression, has any president faced more adversity. Not since the Civil War has any president led a more bitterly divided country. Not since the introduction of racial integration has any president faced a more consistently short-sighted and willfully ignorant opposition from both the right and the left. You might find something by Jim Baranholtz. This song, like something called Turquoise Water. That song, I remember that's a song, it's a Mayan song. As the president's poll numbers have fallen so has his support from some of the on the left that were hailing him as a messiah not long ago. All those lefty websites and commentators that were falling all over themselves on behalf of our first black president during the 2008 election. The left's lack of faith has become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Snipe at the president and then watch the poll numbers fall and then pretend you didn't have anything to do with it. Here is what Obama faced when he took office, none of which is his fault. An ideologically divided country to the point that America was really two countries. Two wars. One that was mishandled from the start, the other that was unnecessary and immoral. And the first one was immoral too because they knew they did it. 9/11 that is. And they made an excuse to go to Afghanistan as if that's where it happened. The next, the worst economic crisis since the Depression. The next, America standing in the world at the lowest point in history. And next, a country that had been misled into accepting the use of torture of prisoners of war. And next, a healthcare system in free fall. An educational system in free fall. A global environmental crisis of history-altering proportions, about which the Bush administration and the Republicans had done nothing. An impasse between culture warriors from the right and the left. A huge financial deficit inherited from the terminally irresponsible Bush administration. And those were only some of the problems sitting on the president's desk. Help from the right? What did the Republicans and the religious right libertarians and half-baked conspiracy theorists, that is what the Republicans were reduced to by the time Obama took office, what did they do to help our new president and our country succeed? They claimed that he was not a real American. They didn't have an American birth, that he didn't have an American birth certificate, that he wasn't born here, and that he was secretly a Muslim, and that he was a white-hating racist, that he was secretly a communist. Oh, my God. All the things that they are. And in the worst way, communism in the best way is good. It's a good type of socialism where, yeah, anyway, actually, wait a second. That he was actually the Antichrist. And that he was a reincarnation of Hitler and that he wanted death panels to kill the elderly. They not so subtly called for his assassination through the not so subtle use of vile signs held at their rallies, and even a bumper sticker quoting Psalm 109, verse 8. They organized tea parties to sound off against imagined insults and all governments in general, and gathered to howl at the moon. They were led by insurance industry lobbyists and deranged yet well-financed commentators from Glenn Beck to Rush Limbaugh. The utterly discredited Roman Catholic bishops teamed up with the utterly discredited evangelical leaders to denounce the president who was trying to actually do something about the poor, about the environment, and to diminish the number of abortions through compassionate programs to help women and to care for the sick. And in Congress, the Republican leadership only knew one word, no. Okay, 15 minutes, Commander. Thank you. In other words, the reactionary, white, ruby, uneducated, crazy Americans. Wait a minute, that's 38, 40, 50, okay. I thought it was up to 55, age 55. You better ask to make sure, okay? Okay. Crazy American far right combined with the educated, yet obtuse, neoconservative warmongers, religious right shills for big business, libertarian, Federal Reserve, hating, gold bug, gun-loving, crazy. That's Ron Paul and Rand Paul, both hands. Child-molesting, acquiescent bishops, frontier loons, and evangelical gay-hating flakes found one thing to briefly unite them. Their desire to stop an uppity black man from succeeding at all costs. And Mr. Boehner said the same thing when he won. Boehner, Boehner. They are in trouble, everyone. Big trouble. Love them more. In other words, the reactionary, white, ruby, uneducated, crazy American far right, combined with the educated, yet obtuse, neoconservative, warmongers, religious right, shills for big business, libertarian, Federal Reserve hating, gold bug, gun loving crazies, child molesting, acquiescent bishops, frontier loons, and evangelical gay hating flakes found one thing to briefly unite them, their desire to stop an uppity black man from succeeding at all costs. Help from the left? What did the left do to help their newly elected president? Some of them excoriated the president because they disagreed with the bad choices he was being forced to make regarding a war in Afghanistan that he had inherited from the worst president in modern history. Others stood up and bravely proclaimed that the president's economic policies had failed before the president even instituted them. Others said that since all gay rights battles have not been fully won within virtually minutes of the president taking office, they had been betrayed. Never mind that Obama's vocal support to the gay community is stronger than any other president in history has been. Never mind that he signed a new hate crime law. Those that had stood in transfixed legions, weeping with beatific emotion on election night, turned into an angry mob saying how disappointed they were that they had not all immediately been translated to heaven the moment Obama stepped into the White House. Where was this change? Contrary to their expectations, they were still mere mortals. And the legion of young new supporters was too busy texting to pay attention for longer than a nanosecond. Governing? What the hell does that word like mean? The president's critics, left and right, all had one thing in common, impatience laced with little to no sense of history. Did you ask about 1055? I need to know now. Let alone reality thrown in for good measure. Then, of course, there were the white snide, make the sentence. That do we have till 8:55? I thought we did. Just to make sure, Seth, and Rama, please write it to make sure that he understands what we're asking, so that we can answer them. Oh. Then, of course, there were the president's critics left and right, all had one thing in common, impatience laced with little to no sense of history, let alone reality thrown in for good measure. Then, of course, there were the white, snide, know-it-all commentators, talking heads who just could not imagine that maybe, just maybe, they were not as smart as they thought they were, and certainly not as smart as their president. He had not consulted them, had he? So, he must be wrong. The Obama critics' ideological ideas defined their idea of reality rather than reality defining their ideas, say, about what is possible in 1 year in office after the hand that the president had been dealt by fate, or to be exact, by the American idiot nation that voted Bush into office twice. Meanwhile, back in the reality-based community, in just 12 short months, did you write the question?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get an answer?
No,
I did not. Okay. Seth, I need you to answer Rama's question he's got on there. And please call at him more than just one time. In just 12 short months, President Obama
thoughtfully and decisively picked the best of several bad choices regarding the war in Afghanistan, yet that was not good enough for his critics, gave a major precedent-setting speech supporting gay rights, that that was not good enough for his critics, restored America's image around the globe, that that was not good enough for his critics, banned torture of American prisoners, yet that was not good enough for his critics, stopped the free fall of the American economy, yet that was not good enough for the critics, put the United States of America squarely back in the bilateral international community, yet that was not good enough for his critics, put the United States of America squarely into the middle of the intentional effort to halt global warming. Okay, so, yet that was not good enough for his critics. Stood up for educational reform. Won a Nobel Peace Prize. Moved the trial of terrorists back into the American judicial system of checks and balances. Did what had to be done to start the slow, torturous, and almost impossible process of health care reform that seven presidents had failed to even begin. Responded to hatred from the right and left with measured good humor and patience. Stopped the free fall of job losses. Showed immense personal courage in the face of an armed and dangerous far-right opposition that included the sort of disgusting people that show up at public meetings carrying loaded weapons and carrying Timothy McVeigh inspired signs about the blood of tyrants needing to water the tree of liberty. Showed that he could not only make that tough military choice, but explain and defend the choices he was making militarily and brilliantly. Other than those disappointing accomplishments in 1 year, President Obama failed other than that he did not live up to the expectations. Who actually has failed? Are the Americans that can't see the beginning of a miracle of national rebirth right under their jaded noses? Who failed are the smart-ass ideologues of the left and the right who began rooting for this president to fail so that they could be proved right in their dire and morbid predictions. Who failed are the movers and shakers behind our obscenely dumb news cycles that have turned news into just more stupid entertainment for an entertainment-exhausted, infantile country. Here's the good news. President Obama is succeeding without the help of his left supporters or hate-filled Republican distractors. Detractors. The future looks good after Obama has served two full terms, as he will, after his wisdom in moving deliberately and cautiously with great subtlety on all fronts, with a canny and calculating eye to the possible succeed it will after the economy is booming and the new industries are burgeoning. They will be after the doomsayers are all proved not just wrong but silly. Let the record show that not all Americans were panicked into thinking the sky was falling. Just because we did not get everything we wanted in the first short and fraught year Obama was in office, not all of us gave up. Some of us stayed the course, and we will be proved right. As you agree that Obama is shaping up to be a great president, please pass this on and hang in there. Are you ready for the song? Pass it on anyway to ensure that his report card right now gets the attention it deserves. Nassara, yes, Nassara now, everyone. All right, Lord Rama, you ready?
Yeah.
It's got to be a Mayan song.
I'm not able to do that in such a short time. I'm not.
Okay, then what are you going to do? You've got to do something that's Mayan, Western, Shenandoah, something, Native American. Native American song of peace. This is the seventh day of the Mayan calendar. Okay. Are you ready?
No, I'm not.
Well, go to Shenandoah. You can play her.
Yeah.
She's a Native American. She sings in the Iroquois language.
Yeah, just a second.
You know we have only 5 minutes now.
Yes. Here we go.
No, not that one. How about that? Not that one.
Okay. I have to stop it then.
Stop it. Okay, let me see the song list again. Go back to that one. Mother Earth, Native American, Indian, Iroquois song. Let's play that. All right, everybody, here we go. This is Mother Earth, Joanne Shenandoah. Turned it off.
to glory.
Hola, oh, aho, aho, mitakuya.
Oh.
And see you tomorrow, everyone. And please help BBS Radio. Please support them and please help us. And please help the world pass the word. Tag here it. Nisara now, and we love you all. Aloha.
Aloha.